Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Crazy old man in his own attic, episode 66. Wilbon, we begin with an announcement from the NHL that they intend to play the playoffs. Gary Bettman went out there today. He said he hopes to start playing the playoffs. I mean, it's a complicated system. Phase 1, 2, 3, and 4 demands medical clearance. And he made sure to say that he got cooperation from the players. But there will be ultimately two sites that sound like bubble sites, two different cities. It is being reported that three that are under consideration are in Canada, seven under consideration are in the United States. There will be a formal training camp sometime in June. No specified date when they start, but Bettman said they would go through the early fall. It is, as we had heard before, 24 teams are involved, 24 out of 31. The top four in each conference will play a round robin to determine seedings after their buys are done. The bottom eight in each conference will play best 3 out of 5. And as we thought yesterday, may have an advantage being sharper for the second round. All things considered, do you think this will make for a more exciting playoff?
All things considered, I think it will make for something that's confusing as hell. No, not particularly. The NHL playoffs, which you know I love the Stanley Cup playoffs. I love them. I have all my life. I love them particularly when my team, the Blackhawks, are in the thick of it. But, Tony, it's exciting as it is. I mean, I don't like this just trumped up sort of playoff format, which I don't even know who's going to be playing. And by the way, I was a little surprised, though, I mean, this is not confusing, that the big cities he was mentioning as potential sites, one in the East, one in the West, Chicago, Toronto, and Vancouver, surprises cities that large were in the running here. That differs greatly from the NBA model, which, of course, it looks like Disney World in Orlando. But going back to the format and whether it's exciting, the games are exciting. That's what's exciting. And, you know, you're not going to have an arena where it's arguably the most exciting thing you've ever seen. You can't have that. It's not the league's fault. But, man, this other stuff, Tony, you just said something. I heard Bettman say it, and I couldn't regurgitate it. I'm taking notes here. I'm like you. I got a legal pad full of notes. I have no idea what the hell he just said.
So the 24 teams I thought was too many. I thought you would have 16. But always keep in mind, there is a fervor for sports right now. And so I guess I'm okay if you expand it a little bit. There are not going to be fans there. You're not going to be defending your home ice on any level. So maybe the more teams that get in, maybe that is more exciting. I worry that the teams that get a bye are not going to be as sharp in the first couple of games in their series. But if they're better teams, I can sort of live with that. Do I think it's going to be more exciting? The NHL playoffs, what makes them so exciting is the possibility of upsets. So indeed, if you have 24 teams instead of 16, there is mathematically a greater chance for a bunch of upsets. I was impressed by this with Gary Bettman. He always came back to the medical facts. He always said, we can't do this until we're cleared to do this. It's going to be a bubble situation, just like the NBA. Obviously, the players had to cooperate. Obviously, the players here want to play. And he also mentioned that fans had sort of demanded that they have resolution to the season. I think about the NHL as I think about the NBA, Mike, that resolution to the season is very important. More important to me than starting baseball or starting football is finishing what was already started.
I agree with you with that, Tony. I'm just saying it's so confusing. How about this? I'm going to call you every evening just before the puck is dropped. I'm going to say, Tony, tell me who is playing whom and why, and I know you'll be on top of it.
Here's what you're going to know, that if that's live and it's playoffs, I will be watching that. All right, Wilbon, let us move to the NBA. Let us move to Michelle Roberts, who's the head of the NBA Players Association. She says that the overwhelming sentiment among her players is they want to start playing. And she says it's time for the NBA to make a decision. This is a direct quote. It's time. It's time. It's been 2.5 months of what if. My players need some level of certainty, unquote. Wilbon, what do you think about that?
Look, I mean, Tony, there is greater accord between management and labor in the NBA than certainly more so than baseball and more so than the NFL. And Michelle Roberts has been a partner to that. I don't want to go crazy here, but she wants certainty for her players. The whole world wants certainty. You know, 5 billion people want certainty and they're not getting it and she's not getting it either. I mean, this is a really complicated process trying to figure out, you know, where you're going to play, how you're going to play, what the protocols are going to be. It doesn't happen overnight. And I know that Michelle is paid to look after her brood. I mean, she is paid to deal with her constituents and not the other side. But this is not going to be some process that is moved forward quickly through one person's impatience. And that's just going to be the way it is. I mean, just a couple of days ago, you know, you couldn't even presume you were going to have a season. Now there is that presumption, but it's not just going to be pushed ahead at 100 miles per hour because Michelle Roberts or anybody else thinks it should.
See, I thought this was a direct shot by her at Adam Silver because he's been musing for a few weeks now about a plan without any particular certainty. Michelle Roberts said, and this is a quote, get it out there. Our guys need to know. That to me is saying to Silver, get out of your ivory tower and get your boots on the ground. What struck me as odd is it's only about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks ago that Michelle Roberts was very concerned about the notion of a bubble. And she didn't know if the players wanted to play. And she used the word, she's likened it to incarceration, which I thought, Mike, came very close to playing a race card at that point. Now, obviously, she's heard from her players, and they're saying go, so she's pushing to make it happen.
Well, it's going to happen, and the players have always said they're going to play. It's not like Major League Baseball, where there's some, you know, financial hurdle between the two sides, and they can't figure it out. Basketball, the NBA has figured this out. It's ongoing. The preparations are being made. It doesn't mean it's going to happen Friday because Michelle Roberts wants it to. And she, I mean, I don't really understand. And look, there's great frustration coming from everyone, and that is to be understood, Tony. But I don't see anybody being an obstructionist toward getting pro basketball going again.
See, I think that this is on Adam Silver in this regard. He took one positive test, and he shut down sports in America. And at the moment, everybody said that is the right thing to do. But he knows once you start again, you don't want to have to shut down. You have to have contingencies. That ladder has to have more rungs than it had before. I think that's the difficult part because you want to protect everybody. But once you start, you want to make sure you go the route, right? I mean, you have to do that.
Yes. He said it. If we're going to shut down because of one positive test, then we can't start down this road. He has said that
can't
on the record. So, no,
can't
you can't do it, Tony. But the logistics, I mean, just the logistics alone, well, you can agree on what you think the health issues are, and then there are a million logistics. We'll stay with the NBA for a second. Damian Lillard tells Chris Haynes of Yahoo that he will not play in meaningless games where his Blazers do not have a true opportunity to get into the playoffs. Tone, do you support or at least understand Dame's position?
I mean, I do understand it. Nobody wants to play in meaningless games. If you don't want to play, don't play. Maybe you give back your money, but you don't want to play, don't play. I don't really care about Damian Lillard all that much. What I care about is the notion of fairness, that games should count for something. They shouldn't just add up so that the league doesn't have to pay back sponsors or partners. They should be meaningful. There are some people out there. I read a story today that says put in a system like European soccer. Put in groups. Let every game mean something. I think if you're going to continue to play, they have to mean something towards getting into the playoffs. And if they don't, Mike, if they don't and it's just seen as money, I don't think that's a good look for anybody.
Well, it may not be a good look, but it's certainly a consideration. Once again, look at baseball. We talk about money issues. But, Tony, I generally agree with you. I know that Adam Silver and a certain portion of the greater basketball community worldwide looks at soccer and says, wow, you know, we could really borrow some things. Borrow them another year. All right. The world is also looking for familiarity. And when coming back with league play, look, I'm changing my mind on play-in because of what Dame Lillard and you are saying you want meaningful games. So I'm starting to shift on that, Tony. If you want to have play-in games, fine. I, personally, just as a fan of basketball in general, no matter where it's played, I don't want to see some, you know, World Cup style structure just thrown in to the middle of a season that's already unbelievably chaotic. I don't want to see that at all. You bring that in when you can plan it and market it and prepare it and have people digest it slowly. I don't want to see any part of that. But play-in or an expanded playoffs, not 24 teams like the NHL or whatever they're going to do, but I would like to see meaningful games, as you mentioned. I think that's a fair thing to do.
Yeah, meaningful means something. And if not, then do what we want to do, which is start immediately with the playoffs. Let's stay with basketball and a topic that I never get tired of. Our friend Jack McCallum, a respected basketball writer for 100 years, who covered the Dream Team with you, who wrote a book about it that was published in 2012. Not exactly yesterday, 2012.
Great
he played
book.
A tape he had made of Michael Jordan on his podcast. In it, Jordan is discussing a conversation he had with Rod Thorne before the Dream Team was officially chosen. Jordan says, quote, "I told Rod I won't play if Isaiah Thomas is on the team. Rod assured me that Chuck," meaning Chuck Daly, "doesn't want him, so he's not going to be part of the team," unquote. Here we go again. Take it. What do you think?
Take it. You know, there's only one thing left to me that's amazing about this. And I think it speaks to a lot. It speaks to the greatness of those guys in that generation. You know, Tony, you used to get irritated when I would refer to it in the Washington Post in print as the golden era of basketball because it didn't include some of your all-time faves, of course. But the fascination with these guys, the team was chosen 29 years ago. The fascination with them played 28 years ago. The Last Dance was 22 years ago, and this will not go away. The fascination with the Dream Team, the selection of it, the Jordan-Isaiah conflict, I shouldn't use the word conflict, but I guess that's a fair word. Friction, certainly. Disagreement. It just won't go away, and you are like a little child with a candy cane, and you just love this. You lived it once. Why can you not let go of this? Because you know what? We know the facts. Jack McCallum wrote a great book. We know what the dynamics were, and you love it.
I can't let go of it because Isaiah Thomas won't let go of it. None of this surprises me even a little. As I have told you, a very close friend of Chuck Daly has told me for quite some time now that Chuck wanted Isaiah on the team but felt that so many players did not want him, that there would be friction, the chemistry would be upset, so he bit the bullet and said, I won't put him on the team. Now, you could look at Rod Thorne as a liar right now because there's a sense
why
that Rod Thorne said, Michael Jordan never said anything. But what Rod Thorne said was Jordan had nothing to do with keeping Isaiah off the team. That is technically true. You could look at Jordan as a liar, but what Jordan said is, you want to attribute it to me? Go ahead. It wasn't me. And that is technically true. So it all continues to land on Isaiah as people just do the count of how many people didn't want him there. He should have been on the team on merit. He deserved to be on the team, but he wasn't. And as you say, a million years later, everybody tries to relitigate this. I'm stunned by it.
Yeah. Look, Tony, you know, I've talked to Isaiah about this in recent weeks. And one thing he says is, I never lobbied to get on the team. And he talks about merit and his body of work and his resume to which you just referred. But again, going into it, you know what? I know that as players reflect on all this stuff, they look back on it. And now, you know, they're in their 50s, usually. Yeah, all these guys are in their mid to late 50s. And their children see this, and there are certain feelings about these things that maybe weren't the way they felt exactly nearly 30 years ago. But it doesn't seem to be going away, Tone. It doesn't. Goodness knows, you won't let it. And McCallum's book, by the way, McCallum wrote a great book on it. He was there for all of this. I got to go back and read McCallum. Maybe McCallum will sell some more books. But Isaiah didn't bring this up. Let's be fair. Isaiah didn't bring this up today. We brought it up.
McCallum brought it up.
McCallum brought it up. Right. Jack did.
Right. You act as if everybody ought to let it go. You're the one who wants to let it go. Everybody else is delighted to get back in the spin of it, get back in the dryer and spin around.
I know. Spinorama. Spinorama.
Hello. This is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Let us go to the happies. You're going to love this, Wilbon. Happy 81st birthday, Brent Musburger.
Yeah.
I say you are looking live, and you say Brent Musburger. Nobody else can use that phrase. Brent used it on the NFL Today, the best pregame show ever. Brent has ties to everything you do, Wilbon. He went to college at Northwestern. He was a columnist at the Chicago American, and he woke up one morning and he was on TV. From 1973 to 1990, Brent was the main voice of CBS. They let him go after the 1990 Final Four, and he went over to ABC and ESPN until 2017. Brent's gift is he can make you believe what you are watching is special. Football, basketball, tennis, golf, tiddlywinks. It doesn't matter. If Brent Musburger calls it in that great voice of his, it is special. Those in the know waited for Brent to make a sly reference to the point spread, which he always did. And that love of gambling explains why Brent is working in Vegas on VSIN, the first network devoted to sports gambling. Brent calls everybody Laddie. So Laddie, happy birthday.
Absolutely. Papa Wildcat to some of us, Tony. Tony, anybody who thinks we're pioneers because we went from newspapers to TV, try going back a few decades when Brent did it. Tony, yes, as you said, I grew up reading Brent Musburger when he was covering the Bears and writing columns in Chicago. And by the way, we've both been invited to have like a gambling seminar in Vegas. I could just drive up there. Brent has said we're quite welcome. Put you on a plane. We'll see if we can do that.
Happy anniversary, Robert Parrish. On this day, 33 years ago, Parrish punched bad boy Bill Laimbeer in the face with 23 seconds left in the first half. Shockingly, the Chiefs stayed in the game, which ended with Johnny Most screaming that Larry Bird stole the ball and fed Dennis Johnson for the game-winning layup with 1 second left to give the Celtics a 3-2 lead in the conference finals. Permit me now to segue into a story Jackie McMullen reported. Parrish was contrasting the leadership style of Bird, who Parrish said was encouraging, to Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan, who Parrish said, quote, would jump all over you, unquote. Parrish recalled when he went to the Bulls that Jordan started jawing at him when he botched a play in a practice. Parrish said he told Jordan, quote, I'm not as enamored with you as these other guys. I've got some rings, too. At that point, Parrish continued, Michael told me, I'm going to kick your ass. I took one step closer and I said, no, you really aren't. After that, he didn't bother me, unquote. That is a great story, isn't it?
I would not mess with Robert Parrish. I was at that game. I was 10 to 12 feet away, unobstructed view of it, when Parrish, bam, bam, knocked Laimbeer down to the ground. This wasn't a foul. He swung at him, and the crazy thing was, because Laimbeer had been such a loathsome thug earlier in the playoffs, Jess Kersey, I believe, was the referee. He looked at Bill Laimbeer, and let me tell you exactly what he said with emotion. He said, get up, Bill. That was it, Tony. That was it. One more time. Let me give you a replay. Get up, Bill. And I'm sitting with our colleague, Ken Dillinger. I think it was a Sunday afternoon in Boston Garden. And I just remember thinking, I was like, I don't know, 27 years old. Oh, my God. Parrish just knocked out Laimbeer. You know how many games he got for that? None. None. He teed it up the next game in the playoffs. Trust me. Oh, my God. What a, two moments in one game. Bird steals the ball, and Parrish knocks out Lambeer. Woo!
Happy trails to the Zlatan. Just as Italy's top soccer league, Serie A, gets ready to resume its season, there was a scare that Zlatan Ibrahimovic's season with AC Milan might have ended. Sky Sports reported that the Zlatan, who left the MLS after two seasons in Los Angeles and returned to Europe, had suffered an Achilles injury yesterday after taking a shot in practice. The Zlatan had already suffered an Achilles injury that caused him to miss games in January and February. But AC Milan said the Zlatan is perfectly intact and will be re-examined in 10 days. Zlatan, who is 38 years old, has scored three goals in eight games so far. He's working on a one-year contract that is set to expire next month, although AC Milan holds an option for one more year. We at PTI, we love the Zlatan. He is our only repeat soccer player guest ever.
No, I don't believe that. That can't be true.
Yes,
but regardless ever. Of that, I'm glad if he's upright and he's going to play some more, we don't need to send him a care package because we do like having him as a guest, but after retirement, not right now.